pastor tonight, and assistant pastor in their absence. And we just want to honor God in all that we say and do. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. I want to say this. I remember a few years ago, Denzel Washington, the actor, just in case someone doesn't know him, was receiving, Oscar or whatever, for two roles, really. I think it was Training Day and the movie where he was the dad that had to give his heart to his son. And he called it, he said, he was such a ruthless villain in the first movie that he called the next movie My Apology. So tonight, I'm such a ruthless villain in what I gotta bring that the apology will come on Sunday. Hallelujah. I plan on allowing the word to step on our toes tonight, if you will. A lot of the times we come to church and, you know, the word kind of cuts sometimes. It hurts sometimes, but the truth is the truth. And when you're convicted and God gives you a message, you gotta have a word from Pastor Faith. He said, you go with the message. So he said, pay no attention to the faces, go with the message. But don't get scared, because we're all in this together. Tonight I want to talk about something that we're all affected by, and every last one of us cannot escape what I'm going to talk about tonight. Every last one of us have to deal with this at some point in our lives. It's one thing. The title that I'm going to give you right now, it's Promotion, Then Pride. And it's as simple as that. So often we see people who have a humble spirit, so it seems. And take for instance like a second or third string quarterback. And that guy, he'll carry the bags and he'll do whatever he's told to do or whatever. He'll hold the play, he'll be the place kicker and everything else. The second they let him in the game, he throw a few touchdowns. And now he has a publicist, a stylist, a nutritionist, you know, he gets a little heady. And tonight I just want to talk about the pride. But see, the thing is when we're, I'm sorry, let the children be dismissed at this time. I apologize. A lot of the time, the pride that can come into us derails us from what God really has for us. And I want to talk about this tonight because I've been dealing with this for the last month and a half. And this is an extensive personal study that I've done because I had something happen to me, and I got beside myself a little bit and I began to question myself. And I said, I am not beyond trials and tests and rebuke. You know, who told me I'm beyond that point? So I had to check myself, you know, and I believe I'm blessed for doing it. I don't want to get too heady with that either. So, but I want to read something to you. Whenever you hear me speak, you're always going to hear something historic and it's going to be a topical situation. It's going to be one topic. I'm not good enough to do like I can't and swing through the Bible. I got to stick with one thing. And the topic tonight is pride. I want to read you something. This is about the Polaroid Corporation. I don't know if everybody in here is about my age or younger, but, you know, somewhere in there. Remember the 80s anyway. The popular camera back then was the Polaroid Instant Camera. All right? So this was a big thing. And if you think about it, who else had an instant camera? Really, it was just Polaroid all by themselves. They took over that market and they did very well for themselves. But I want to read you this. In 1937, Polaroid was started by Edwin Land. He started the instant camera in 1948, so like 11 years later he started the instant camera. February 2008 ceased all production in favor of digital photography. Okay, and it says its bankruptcy was widely believed to be the result of failure of its senior management to anticipate the effect of digital cameras and the effect on the film business. October 11, 2001, they filed Chapter 11. As of 2009, they just stopped making everything all together. And that intrigued me because this is a business that went on to do like billions and billions of dollars in business and revenue. But what happened to them? I was wondering about that. What happened to them? And I submit to you, when we talk about pride, when we're in the church, it's always someone else and not us. That's the whole pride issue right there in itself. We always sit in church and sit and say, this is for my wife over here. She really needs to hear this. Or this is for my husband. Or this is for so-and-so. You know, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need this message. I need you, Lord. Correct me. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. And if you will, 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 3 to 5. Yeah, my wife's right. If anyone calls me four eyes, there's going to be some consequences later. I don't know what I'm going to do, but sometimes I'm going to say something. It's Elamaki. I got you. 2 Kings. We don't have a screen, so when you have it, say amen. All right. And we're just going to read verse 3. I wanted to illustrate tonight, when we think about pride, we always think of the unsaved. And I got to tell you this before we go into the reading. We always think of the unsaved because the first one that came to my mind when I thought about pride was King Nebuchadnezzar and the fact that he got so lifted up in pride and he believed that he wouldn't even call other kings kings. He was the only king in the world to himself. And he lifted himself up so high that God had to bring him down to earth. And the thing is, if you remember the story of the three Hebrew boys, and he promised that he was going to praise the God of Meshach and Abednego. And he promised, oh, there's no other God but their God. But then he worshiped other gods anyway. And he just kept rolling with business as usual. And he sat in his kingdom one night and he just thought, you know, there's nobody greater than me. Even after he was told a year earlier that he was coming down and he didn't change. And so it's easy to go there when you deal with pride. But I wanted to go to somebody that's just like you and me. Someone believed to be a good person. So I wanted to study Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. Now the Bible talks about Hezekiah in such a way you and I don't even measure up. So I don't want us to get it in our minds that, oh, we are better than him. This man, if there were no David, I always say if there were no Michael Jordan, we'd be talking about Karl Malone like crazy because every year he was number two in scoring, every year. But there was a Michael Jordan, so we talk about him. The fact is there was a David, so we talk about him. But if there was no David, our attention would go right to Hezekiah. There was no king like him. Let's read in 2 Kings 18, verse 3. Glasses again. Now we're just going to get right to the meat of it. Verse 3 reads, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. I submit to you that he was a unique character. There was no other even before him. David, in some respects, was not like this man. This man was a true man of God. If you read the study that I had to put into this, to really understand his life was incredible. It was probably 18, 19 hours, I'm not gonna lie to you. It was extremely difficult because you have to go through all of the books and figure out what did he mean by this, and then you go to another book to find out. So it was very difficult, but the point I'm trying to make is he started off so humble, and his humble beginnings was like no other, no other. God loved this king. His father was so wicked, he did so many things that you say, wow, how did he do? Not David. David was more his grandfather in his lineage. It says father, but they mean in the lineage. But his natural biological father did so much wickedness, you say, who influenced this man? You know, who spoke to him? Who helped him out? But he had a heart to serve God and to go against God. And when you see that golden serpent that they had, the brazen serpent, they worship that even to this day. They still consider that many of the Jews a serpent people. That's what they consider themselves. They serve the serpent. And that has not changed. They twisted that whole miracle with Moses, and they twisted it around and started worshiping the serpent. That's not what that was for. That was to show the power of God. All right, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Chapter 32. We'll read verse 7. We're going to go through this quite extensive because I really want you to understand this man, and I want you to understand that this thing, pride, can get the best of us all. And I want to say, pride has many different forms and variations. You know, we think of pride, though, you say something to somebody and they say, oh, that's it, you can't tell me what to do. That's one thing, but there's many forms of it. There's many forms of it. The main thing is it deals with the heart. And sometimes it could be as small as being able to say, I'm sorry. You know, the pride will lift you up so much that you can't say the words, I'm sorry, I messed up, I want to get it right. You know, you can't say that. Pride will get you lifting somebody else up when you know God is dealing with somebody else. Pride will get you lifting somebody else up. You know what I'm saying? God is clearly showing himself to this one, but in your mind, it's this one. And if you run with that, that's a form of pride. You know, so let's read verse 7. I got to give you a little background on this. I'm sorry. Here's what happened. The king of Assyria came and made all of these threats to Hezekiah. And he began to brag on what he was going to do. He was running through every kingdom on the earth. And he was getting victory, and he was saying things like, the gods of this land and of Egypt and all these places, they couldn't do anything against me. What make you think your God's going to be able to stop what I'm doing? He made all these threats. Even so, he sent messengers down, and the people of Judah asked them, please speak to us in your language. We don't want to scare our own people. Don't speak in our tongue, because we're not afraid of this. But when the people hear, they're going to be afraid. But they didn't. They knew that. They said, okay, that's going to hurt your feelings. We're speaking in Hebrew now for sure. So they began to speak in Hebrew, and all of the people were afraid, including it got to Hezekiah. But so that's where we're at. And God miraculously gave him victory over that king. But in this one chapter, it kind of spells out the entire thing. So I just want to give you a little background on that. Verse 7 reads, be strong and courageous, be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. There be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And I don't want to get into this, but it talks about all of Sennacherib, what he was saying and everything. Basically, it was a lot of threats, and he had, after prayer with the prophet, he resolved in his mind that he was going to go all the way with the Lord, and it wasn't going to matter what happened after that. He was going to trust in the Lord. Let's go to verse 20. Let's go to verse 20. See what I'm talking about here. Verse 20. Verse 20 reads, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders of the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God," small g, "they that came forth with his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side." Let's pause. Now what God did here was a miracle. I really can't explain this enough about how many people there were against so few, and God delivered. But it was God that delivered. And sometimes we get it all twisted when we get a little promotion, a little title. Well, I know I'm a minister now, so I see what's going on. I see him carrying boxes. I'm excluded from carrying boxes now because I'm a minister. I'm a deacon now. I should get my food first. I should do this. I should do that. It's easy to start getting that kind of thing going because you say, you see the way God's blessing me when I lead prayer or when I sing my song? That can't be me, right? But when I sing my song or whatever it might be, you see the way the Lord blessed me. I don't have to do anything anymore. I shouldn't be doing anything physical, right? Let's read. Let's continue reading. Verse 23. Oh boy. Verse 23. "And many brought gifts unto the Lord of Jerusalem, to the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth." Hold on. The gifts came. The accolades came. They said how great he was. And you can say what you want, but if they're telling you how great you are, you know, you start to believe that stuff some kind of way. You start to say, look at what I did. I did pretty good. What's that? Hallelujah. So you start to get a little puffed up. You don't see it coming. And that's the thing that scares me about pride. It's the silent killer. It's stealth. It comes on slowly. You have no idea it's coming. But here it comes. A few gifts. And then people saying, oh, how great you are. Now this man prayed to God for healing. And God extended his life. You and I have that kind of prayer with God and that kind of effect. What I'm trying to tell you, this could be any of us. That's all I'm trying to say. This could be any of us. Verse 24. "And in those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign." I'm not going to get into all those signs. We know all of that. Verse 25, "But Hezekiah," this scares me right here, "but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefits done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." Let's stop right there. Now, when I'm doing this study, I got to be honest, I came to this conclusion on my own through other chapters, but I really needed it to be crystal clear to me that that's what the case was, that he got lifted up in pride. But it plainly says it here. He got lifted up in pride, and it's easy to do. It's so easy to do. But God tried him, and he tries each and every one of us. And he's trying us on a daily basis. Sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail. But it's not about passing and failing. It's about the acknowledgement that, okay, I don't have it all together sometimes. I need your mercy now to take up the slack in my life. I need your mercy. I rely on your mercy. Because I already know from the beginning that I'm messed up. I'm messed up. Let's continue here. Now here's the nice part, and this is saved and unsaved. This, if you're going to be saved, this is how you handle it. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not on them in the days of Hezekiah. Now I want to explain something that Hezekiah did after the victory over Sennacherib and Assyria. The king of Babylon, it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar at that time, the king of Babylon sent him letters wishing him well and doing all of these things because he was afraid of Assyria as well. So he sent him letters and heard how sick he was, and he was playing it up nice. So he sent messengers to Hezekiah. And during this visit from these messengers, Hezekiah sort of removed praise from his mouth and his heart and failed to give God all the credit and what had taken place. So he's showing them everything in the palace and his house, and he's saying, look at my gold, look at my silver, look at this, look at that, and then they go on their way. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? He's just, you know, showing off a little bit. Well, I always say, nobody likes a show off. Nobody likes a show off. But the fact is, God blessed him with all of that. And where was God? In his mouth, from the heart. Many of us talk it, but it's not really from the heart. And I had to examine myself, and I say, you know, Lord, I try to take pride, you know, at my job. Every job I've been on, they always say, gentle giant. I don't know how that comes about, but they say, gentle giant. Well, he's so humble, and he's so this and that. And I say, you know, that's well, but, you know, I wish it was really from the heart, you know. And then it'll come out in different spurts because it's so much in the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So a lot of us speak it, but a lot of the time, it's just talk that we learn from hanging around church folk. Oh, and then we, oh, it's about Jesus, it's about Jesus. But I'm talking about the fabrics of our hearts and just about giving it really to God from the heart, not with the lips only. You know, Elder Camp has been preaching about conviction versus compromise, and a lot of the time, it's really not conviction. We just moving our lips because we've heard someone else say it in church, and it sounds good. Pastor Reverend Jackson has this saying, time will tell. And you know what? It's so right. Time will tell. I don't care what you're telling me, because now, being that you told me so much, now I'm looking at your life. Now I want to see what your life looks like, because you drew all this attention, standing up saying how great God is to you. So now I'm going to look just like everybody else and find out, well, how great is he in your life? When things get tough, do you give up? Can you show love in a difficult situation? Can you have forgiveness when it's really tough to do so? I mean, those are the things that God is looking for. It's not about what we say, it's about what we do. And I can't go over that enough, but pride and lift it up. Let's read here just a little further. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for the silver and gold and precious stones and spices for the shields, and he made all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts. That's everything. I mean, blessing on every side. Verse 29, moreover, he provided him cities and possessions, flocks, herds, abundance, and God had given him substance very much. God did it. God did it. Psalm says, if there's anything good that happened to me, God did it. This is not something that I knew how to do. God did it. Verse 30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the up. Oh, I gotta explain this because it doesn't explain it good here. This is the wisdom of God. Sometimes the wisdom of God is so great in our lives. And we say, wow, I didn't see how I did something like that. I didn't understand what happened at the time. But I know But what happened is, how they won the war actually was the king of Assyria and the big host, they came into to the city, and they're sitting around enjoying all of the water that the city offered. They set up fountains everywhere. And can you imagine this? This is in Jerusalem. They have fountains all over the place. So of course, this army said there's plenty of water there, so we don't have to camp by a river or anything. We're just going to be right here. All of these fountains are here. We're good. Well, Hezekiah, through God's wisdom, stopped every fountain in Jerusalem, and they only got water on one side where all of Jerusalem dwelt, and the other side starved to death. And you don't last 3 days without water and you're done. And this is the wisdom of God, how he won this war. That was one of the things, but it just says a little bit here. It doesn't go into detail. Verse 30, and the same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course in Gihon and brought it straight down the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him and inquired of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. You know, sometimes we feel like nobody's going to know about this. They won't notice that I'm not really doing this sincerely. They won't notice if I'm not even in service on a Friday or a Sunday. They won't notice that my dress code ain't up to par, even though when I can afford to do better. They won't notice caked on makeup on my face. They won't notice that. This is pride in doing it your way. When the pastor and the assistant pastor clearly laid out, this is what we want, we ask that you live up to that. It's not a hard thing what they ask, but for us, we get pride and we get lifted up, and you know, you don't have to do that to be saved. And you know, honestly, you really don't. When it comes down to it, it's about the heart. But it's also that same reason for you not doing it that exposes the heart. Why am I not doing it? Is there a reason? Think about it. Is there a reason? If they tell me to be here at 7, do I have a reason to not be here at 7? If I do, God knows. But they're asking, be here at 7 on Friday. Well, I'm going to be there at 7:30. I know what time things really get going. But they ask you to be here at 7 and come in with a prayerful attitude. Well, now you show up, but you ain't praying. You're talking for 15, 20 minutes. Loud and disturbing the next person. I told you I'm stepping on toes, but it's the word. Don't get mad at me. Like I said, the apology will come on Sunday. But tonight, I'm going to be the big bad guy. But I want to tell the truth. You know, I want to speak the truth, because I want us all to make it. But the real issue is pride can slip in amongst the best of us. And we can sit here right now and say, I hope she heard that. Think about that. I hope she heard that. I mean, we need to get away from that kind of thinking. I hope that she, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. On Sunday, we came up here for men and we signed a resolution. And I couldn't help but wonder, and I said, gee, you know, I hope I really try to live up to this, because, you know, I'm going to give it 100%. I'm going to try to do this. Forget about the signature and all of that, but I'm talking about from the heart. I really want to do better. You know, I want to be good. I want to do the right thing. And I just couldn't help but think, oh, I wonder if everybody has that attitude. And I said, oh, Lord, that's not even how I'm supposed to think about somebody else. They come up here and they didn't know anything about the movie and they didn't try to figure out anything. They just signed something and just went on their way. That's got to be them. I got to be concerned with me. I got to make it for myself. And the pride, it happens so subtly that you have no idea it's there. It takes years to build up, and in an instant, it'll come out and you'll say, wow, I didn't expect that brother to say all of that. Well, it's been building the whole time, you know? It's been building the whole time. Proverbs 16, I'm going to read this real quick. Proverbs 16, you don't have to turn to it. Will, you should know this one. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, you know? Pride does these things. pride sets you up for a fall if you're not careful. It's the main thing that has taken out people. I don't care what the situation is, because you can line up sin right across the road, and the thing that moves people out more is pride. Because when the sin is confronted sometimes, it's kind of like, well, you know about that now. Now I'm embarrassed. Now I'm gonna move to the next town. Since you know I did that, so I'm gonna move to the next town. That's a form of pride. I'm out of here. And these are the things that the great ones, the Davids, in spite of that, they humbled themselves. And it takes a humble mind and a humble spirit to overcome all of these things. Let me read this scripture. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Think about that. A man's pride shall bring him low. I mean, isn't that what the king of Babylon did? When he got so lifted up, God said, okay, you're going to eat grass for 7 years. You put that fire hot on my servants 7 times hotter, I'm going to let you eat grass 7 years out there. 7 years, you're going to lose your mind, you're going to be wet, you're going to feed, somebody else is going to have to feed you or leave food out for you, crawling around like a beast. You can't get any lower than that. But the good thing is, when he came to himself, he understood. He said, now I exalt the King of heaven. He never could say king for anybody else, but he said, I exalt the King of heaven, and there's only one God. I want to read you this little poem, and then I'm going to get out of the way. Hallelujah. It's nice and quiet in here. And like I said, the apology, we'll jump and shout on Sunday. They asked me, they said, you want to do Sunday or Friday? I said, you know, I don't ask for things. I said, why don't we go with someone else? And they said, oh no, Minister Anthony's going to be busy, so it's all down to two of me. So they said, well, we're going to get Justin Sunday. Is that all right? I'm like, I don't care if I get a Wednesday morning tape service that people send across from phone to phone. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if I get 7 minutes. It doesn't matter to me. But when I thought about it, I'm like, good, because what I have to say, it ain't a jump and shout message. But this is what God gave me, and I apologize, and a real apology will come on Sunday. But I want to read you this poem real quick. This is called My Name is Pride. And I want you to really just listen. This is so small, even with glasses, it's tough. And I'm going to say it's by Beth Moore, but I'm going to say it's by me and Beth Moore, because I'm going to add hello at the beginning. So we share the copyright on this poem. Hello, that's my part. My name is Pride. I'm a cheater. I cheat you of your God-given destiny. Because your demand is on, told you it's small. Because your demand is your way only. I cheat contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat healing because you are too full of you to forgive. I cheat holiness because you refuse to admit when you are wrong. I cheat you of a vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out a window. I cheat you of genuine friendship because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you of love because real romance demands sacrifice. I cheat you of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash others' feet on earth. I cheat you of God's glory because I convinced you to seek your own. I'm going to say hello again. Hello, my name is Pride. I'm a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Untrue. I'm looking to make a fool of you. God has so much more for you, I admit. But don't worry. If you stick with me, you'll never know. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where we fit in there. But we can all stand at this time. I don't know where pride has got you tonight, but the one thing about pride is we can look at each other and we can see, okay, you look good, you look saved, you're coming. But pride is the real you. It's what's really going on the inside. It stops you from saying, I'm sorry. It stops you from asking God, really, what will thou have me to do? It robs you of so many blessings that God has for you, because God knows, and if you think about it, the first to ever fall was someone named Lucifer. And this is the very thing that Lucifer fell by, pride. Oh, man.